For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. And now, the artist still known as Bradfoe, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. on WEEI.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Baseball's been boring. I am live. I'm Rob Bradford. I am live from Camden Yards in Baltimore and back in the Baseball Isn't Boring studios, Sammy and Gordo. What's up, Sammy and Gordo?
What's up, Bradfoe?
Bradfoe.
Okay. Gordo, talk.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I just want to have everyone know who's who and what's what.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's me. I am Gordon.
All right, Gordon. Soon to be Mr. Gordon, right?
I am Mr. Gordon today. I am soon to be Mr. Gordon tomorrow and a few weeks from Monday? From Monday.
Your lovely wife-to-be is going to be taking the name Mrs. Gordo soon, so congratulations with that.
We do need more Gordos in this world. I'm doing my part.
All right, there you go. Well, so you want to break some news to me? I mean, I had Zach Eflin on the podcast yesterday, and he said that he had broke the news on the Baseballs and Boring podcast that he's having a boy. And I said, well, you know, let's go. We're happy to do a Baseballs and Boring gender reveal. I mean, I feel like that's the next step. So if you want to participate in that, Gordo, you got news to give us or what?
What's going on? I have no offspring on the way at the moment.
All right, let it be said, let it be done. Sammy, say hello. All right. It's so good. Everything good back there, back in the Baseballs and Boring studios?
Yeah, it's weird not having you here, but I just want to make it clear, I also don't have any offspring on the way, in case you were wondering.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't want to leave you out, but if you do, at any point in the show, you do get the news and let us know, all right?
Yes, when that news comes, we will all be breaking it on the Baseballs and Boring show.
Try to do it as we lead into a trend, so we do a trend. It can get in part of the trending, Jacob's trending now, okay?
Oh, yeah. All right? We'll give him a heads up.
All right, so it's good that you guys are boots in the ground back in the Baseballs and Boring studios. I'm boots in the ground here in Baltimore because I want to get the vibe, you among the common folk, and I'll get the vibe here in the clubhouse, on the field, on the streets of Baltimore, which, by the way, so I walked over to the hotel. I had an inclination. I had a slight urge to hop back on one of those scooters.
It's just the right.
It's one of these hotel situations. It's just the right amount of distance where it's scooter worthy. And I made it here on plenty of time, but still, I would have been here a little bit earlier if I went faster, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't get back on the scooter. I couldn't do it.
I think it feels too soon. What has it been? Like a month?
Yeah, but there's still some physical ailments emanating from that scooter accident in Colorado. That was in Colorado. And so, which is a perfect segue. We go back to that last day in Colorado. You come out of the All-Star break, you have the Dodgers, you have Colorado, and you get beat 20-7 by Colorado. But still, you're like, all right, you know, it's okay. It's all right. You know what's going to lead us? The pitching. The pitching is going to be the fail-safe. And really, what's ironic, fellas, and by the way, Baseball Isn't Boring show, 617-779-7937. Thank you. McFarland Energy.
McFarland!
All right. You just blew the woofers and tweeters. That's what we like.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. All right. But, you know, what's ironic is that when we looked at the records, we kept saying, oh, look, what's the difference between this year and last year, the trade deadline this year and last year? And Alex Cora would always jump to the same thing, the pitching. So with that said, now we're sitting here with an ERA since the All-Star break for the relievers at 7.11, 7.11, an OPS of over 900 for the relievers. Now, last night was almost not even fair to add it to those stats, but it is what it is. But I will say this. We have, right now, you have the same exact record. What's today? August 17th. August 17th on 2023 was the same exact record as August 17th, 2024. Yet, of course, we know that it kind of fell apart after that. We know the record was well below 500. It wasn't a fun September. It wasn't even like a remotely interesting September. But what is going to be the difference? And so my point is, Alex Cora, every time that this is brought up, leading from that Colorado trip to the trade deadline to the first week of August, it's, well, the difference is pitching. The pitching's a real thing. It's a real thing. That's his thing. It's a real thing. Well, the problem is, it is a real thing, in a bad way. And as we sit here right now, do you guys think, and I'll go with Gordo first, do you guys feel, knowing that science would suggest the record is exactly the same as 365 days ago, that the pitching is going to be enough of a real positive thing that you are going to be able to avoid exactly what happened last year? Because let's be honest, the way that it looks right now, you could absolutely make the case that you shouldn't be any more optimistic as you were a year ago. But hey, maybe I get that's why you guys are there. That's why you guys have the minds that you do. That's why you are on the Play Tessie podcast, the official podcast, Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Gordo, you first.
Well, I mean, you made a great point. And with it feeling just like last year in terms of the vibes and in terms of how we got here, like the scope of the seasons have basically taken the exact same road. It's almost scary to a point. And gosh, I'd be lying if I said I was any more optimistic today than I was at this time last year, just because last year you had pitching maybe coming back, but you were going with bullpen games that were wearing down the bullpen. They were wearing down your starters because you were asking so much of the ones that were healthy.
They were going, not to interrupt you because you were on a roll. I apologize.
You go.
There are a couple things happen that I think this slight, as bad as the pitching is now, last year you have to remember, they were going with two bullpen games every time through the rotation, like two of them.
And even one, and you're seeing it anytime they have one this year. It's unsustainable. I don't know how they had as much success for as long as they did, because it wasn't just like a couple of bullpens here and then. As you said, they were part of the literal rotation, and we see they had a couple of bullpen games against the Astros, and you're still feeling the pain from those.
Oh, and I want to get to last night in a second, but the other part of this that we can't forget is that things went off the rails last year when Duran got hurt, right, and then Casas got hurt, and there wasn't that depth. There wasn't that what basically happened this year, which is, yeah, everyone can get hurt, but someone's going to step up. There wasn't that. So anyway, it's a good point by you. Although I do, Gordo, I do question if you were as optimistic on, again, I'm checking the date, August 17th, 2023, as you were right now, August 17th, 2024.
I think I'm more optimistic now, because I think
right,
by this time last year,
saying.
I thought the season was dead.
I think if we put up a poll on the Play Tessie Twitter feed or the Baseball Isn't Boring Twitter feed, at BB Isn't Boring, at Play Tessie, I think that maybe we should do this, but I think that people are much more optimistic because I think they just feel better across the board. Another one thing I will say about last night, they don't win that game last year, last night's game last year.
Are you saying right? Because they don't hit enough?
Like, yeah, they don't. I mean, they don't beat Corbin Burns. You don't hit enough. It was, you know, it's, you just don't do it. Like, it's, I'll give this team this, where, as I wrote about this today, where they zig when everybody expecting the zag. In other words, the zigging is winning, and everyone expected them to, fully expected them to lose that game. Even before we saw how it unfolded, they expected them to lose that game. It was Corbin Burns against an opener. It was the Baltimore Orioles, a really good lineup against the Red Sox, you know, who was trying to find their way.
I gave it the Gordo guarantee for a loss on our last pod.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's the only one I've given it to this
Gordo
year.
Gordo guarantee.
Really? Is that, can we get that sponsored by the end of the show?
Well, yeah, please? we need to do a quick search of companies that start with a G and get a quick sponsorship.
All right. Anybody with a company with a G, feel free to call in.
Google, offline. Looking at you.
Producer Jacob is at the ready. So, all right. Well, anyway, all right. You said it. You made your feelings heard. Gordo, now it's Sammy's turn. What do you got, Sammy?
Well, you said you're more confident than you felt in 2023, Gordo. And Bradfo, it sounds like you echo the same sentiment. To me, that's like saying you're taller than Jose Altuve. It's not exactly impressive. This team is still doing bullpen games. They're still really flimsy in the bullpen right now. I can't fathom them not running out of gas as we head towards the finish line. And I hate to bring this up because he's a friend of the program, but if you're signing 44-year-old Rich Hill, it's probably not a good sign at this juncture of the season. So I'm not declaring this team done. I hate when people do that before it's actually the truth, before science actually indicates that the season is in fact over. They're still in this, but my confidence is waning little by little. Even yesterday with that win, now you got a really taxed bullpen. I just don't know how they keep it together, but we'll see. It's baseball. Crazier things have happened.
All right. Well, and I do want to get to the Rich Hill thing, and I'm happy to talk about that. Milton, in case anyone missed the press release from the Milton Little League, they sent out a press release last night, basically confirming everything, saying good luck, Coach Hill. We are releasing you from your duties.
They lost, right? So this is kind of a revenge.
They
tour.
Lost. And revenge so, tour. So I actually, yesterday, I actually talked to Rich. And I mean, this is, you know, whatever.
Was he at the Cooperstown Dreams Park?
Yes.
Oh,
so
that was so much fun. I did that when I was a kid.
So let's go back, and I do want to get into the bigger picture of Rich Hill, because when you have this sort of Rich Hill announcement, I think everyone, it's sort of a polarizing thing, Sammy. A lot of people are taking that tact. Like, really? Like, is this what we're getting excited about? What's going on? This is the answer to the problems, but I think that that's not a good way to look at it. But anyway, A week ago Friday, he had the showcase. Rich Hill had the showcase, and there were three teams there. And then there were a report that came out. I think the Minnesota Twins might be interested. I don't think that was actually accurate. But anyway, he knew he was going to Cooperstown to help coach his son Bryce's, what do you call it? The Tournament of Dreams?
Field of Dreams?
It's like the Cooperstown Dreams Park.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there's like
coolest tournament ever.
140 teams, and Milton did really, really well. So, but he knew, he's like, listen, this is part of the equation. The part of the equation was, I'm going to do two spring training games broadcasting for WEEI. I'm going to coach Milton Little League for the entirety of the spring and some of the summer. I'm going to Cooperstown if we don't make Williamsport. Williamsport. If we don't make it there, I'm going to Cooperstown. And yes, I did the showcase, but still, if a team asks to sign me, I am still going to go to Williamsport. Go to Cooperstown and do this. So it comes out, when was that, Thursday night, that he has basically agreed with the Red Sox to sign him, which isn't a surprise. The Red Sox were one of the teams at the showcase, and they were really, really impressed with him. But he talked to him yesterday, and he's like, I got one game, single elimination, a game at 4:30, and if we win, we play at 7. Well, they lost at 4:30, so the Hill family's loaded up. They're heading down. Everyone can be happy. Everyone can get their, whatever untwisted about, oh, my goodness, he's spending all this time at Cooperstown. He should be back. It's a day. Like, who cares? So, you guys agree with that?
Yeah, it's a day. I mean, he just took half the season off.
It's a day. It couldn't go any further than today, and he's going to show up in Worcester anyway on Monday, probably. So you have that dynamic. So good for them, good for Milton. But I think that my overall point with the Rich Hill thing is that it made no sense not to sign him. Because literally you are signing a guy who says he can pitch five or six innings right now, and he knows what it's like to pitch in the major leagues. This isn't like a 22-year-old, I can do this right now. No, he knows what it's like. He said he could pitch five or six innings right now, at least endurance-wise. You throw him out there in some minor league games, you see what he does, and then if he does okay, then you call him up, and then he's part of the answer. So, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Well, that's it, Rob, right there. I'm not saying it's something to get like uber excited about. I agree with you on that on that front, Sammy. But this, you saw right last night with Cooper Criswell. He very much, I mean, obviously coming off COVID, but he really didn't look very good. And they don't really have a backup plan for him right now. So if he has a couple more starts like that, are you going to Quinn Priester? I don't think they necessarily want to. Are you going to Richard Fitz, or are you going to Rich Hill? Like, you need to have as many options as possible, and this just adds to it.
Yeah, I think both things can be true, that it's not a great sign that you're getting a 44-year-old pitcher pretty much off the couch, but it's also the right move to make because you don't have better options at this point.
Can I give you an example? So this isn't unprecedented, really. If you go back to 2009, and let's go back because I know you guys were like two, but 2000...
Sammy wasn't.
2000...
Sammy was in his 40s, by the way.
Sammy was right next to me in the press box.
Yeah, I'm an adult.
I know. Congratulations on your impending nuptials back at the age of 55. Adult. But in 2009, Paul Byrd did the same thing. Paul Byrd was I think he was coaching his high school team. They signed up, and all of a sudden, I think if you go back and look, he pitched one of the last days of August, and he pitched six innings, gave up three hits and no runs.
Yeah,
like out of the gate. So I'm not saying that Rich Hill is going to do that, but
take a chance.
Yeah, you put it this way: you don't have any other options. We're past the trade deadline, and you can say Quinn Priester, fine. But if you put Quinn Priester on the 40 man, if you call him up, that's a big leap of faith. You're still working with him in Worcester. Richard Fitz, same thing.
Both long-term plays.
Yeah.
Not guys they want up here this
year.
It's not fair to them either. You don't want to put those kids
right,
under that
exactly.
pressure.
And so I do want to talk about last night's game, and I want to talk about the trade deadline, and I want to talk about the most polarizing person in the history of the planet, Tristan Casas. So I want to talk about all those things. So I encourage everybody to join the conversation because it's not every day that you get 3 hours of baseball talk, the Baseballs and Boring Show, the hottest brand. As we know, you guys now, I'm getting you new T-shirts, by the way.
Really?
New design or just new colors?
No, it just says it has to have, you have to be identified. Only special people get them.
Ooh.
It says the brand. You guys are the brand. As we know, Alex Cora has made it so. He said, it's Rob and the brand.
Are you getting a shirt that says Rob?
I'm Rob.
This is the best example of let it be said, let it be done.
I'm Rob. And even Cotillo, in his snarky way the other night, on Thursday night, he asked at the end of the press conference post game, he's like, Rob and the brand reported that Rich Hill is blah, blah, blah. And like, okay, if we're going to go down this road, let's do it fully. You guys are the brand.
Got to lean in.
Whoever's with me is the brand, and I am Rob. So that is the baseball is in boring way. Let it be said. Let it be done. all right. We got a lot to get to. We're going to be with you till 6 o'clock, and then I'm going to be taking over the pregame show. And then Tyler Murray and Will Fleming here in the booth where I am at right now at Camden Yards. But before we get to the calls, before we get to more conversation, we have producer Jacob with the trending, which may or may not have news about the expanding families of Gordo.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, what a beautiful day. What a beautiful day. And I'm not even talking about the weather, because it's not a beautiful day in Baltimore right now, which is where I am. I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. It is cloudy out, no rain. The Ravens game got out, so everyone's walking the other way while I'm walking the other way. And everyone had the same look on their face, like, what did I do, buy ticket for a preseason football game? That's the look they had. You know the look, guys. You know the look.
Football,
right?
Football in person is, in my opinion, kind of tough. Preseason football, next level.
I can't do it.
And this is why, when we have this conversation, and I've had this conversation on the podcast, of course, the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, you should all subscribe, as you should subscribe to the Play Teske podcast, the official Red Sox podcast for WEI. We asked, hey, listen, baseball is the best sport to attend, to watch in person. And it's an easy conversation. It's an easy narrative because, of, like you said, football is so made for TV, it's not even funny. You know, hockey and basketball, you get there and it's just nonstop, boom, 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 boom. Baseball, you go to the park, you eat your face off, you drink your face off, you talk about the day, something momentous happens, you get into the game, then something else happens and you talk about it, so forth and so on. Yes. So I dare anyone to refute that. And if they do, it's their prerogative to be wrong. So
I think a lot of people love watching football in person, but I challenge you to tell me if that's
like
football.
Tailgating. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Is do you love the football or do you love the tailgating?
It's such a long day. There's no way without tailgating you can say this is a great thing. I like,
especially at Gillette.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, there's.
I like tailgating. I don't want.
No, it's great, but Gillette's just so hard to get to and get a schlep.
Hey, I'm sure that there are people out there who are saying, "How dare you say this? How dare you diminish the great game of football?" We clearly, it was very important that everybody broke down Drake May 7-on-7s, no pads, and every single practice ad nauseum. Oh, it was so important. Just like it was important for me to say the ball was coming out of Brian Bayo's hand on February 17th. It's like, this is it drove me nuts a week ago, but now that narrative has completely changed with Drake May about this is the reality, all it takes is one preseason game, where now all of these things that all these people saw at practice and were breaking down practice, preseason practice, and making these broad statements and judgments, like now they're out the window. Oh, forget it. And you know what? We do it in spring training, but I don't think, guys, that we do it to the level, certainly, that these football either writers or observers, or fans, or whatever they do, and it baffles me every single year.
There's also no quarterback in baseball. That's the thing that makes football different, is that you can harp on a quarterback and have a debate about a quarterback until the cows come home.
Sammy, it's more than the quarterback. I had to hear this about the receiver room. The offensive, they had terrible practice.
This guy
today.
You've never heard of might have some potential.
I'm not begrudging. People have to talk about stuff. People have to write stuff and all of it. But these definitive, overstating observations and opinions are so aggressive. That's what's baffling to me, because I can juxtapose it against spring training. And yes, people do this in spring training sometimes, which is stupid. It's dumb.
I feel like in baseball, we kind of have this kind of unspoken agreement that spring training, it matters, but not that much. Whereas in football, people take preseason it's like church.
You can pick through things in spring training that matter. But if you don't pay enough attention to it, which most people don't, as I said, the spring training schedule, bizarrely for the Red Sox, came out the same time as the Celtics schedule, right? The same day, I think. And I can't wait for Joe, Hall of Fame Joe, to say on March 22nd, here comes big number 97 for the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, this makes you feel like winter's almost over. All right, let's get back to the calls. And if you want to join in, 617-779-7937. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Sammy and Gordo from Play Tessie. And, of course, the guy that we lead off with, speaking of Hall of Famers, is Jeff in Watertown. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing today? I don't know where to begin, Brad, but first of all, the vibe for me, this isn't a bad August compared to the last 3 years. We're still winning. We're winning series. We're hanging in there. It doesn't look great, but still. I mean, the last 3 years in August, we really sucked. We don't suck. So I feel like I feel positive about that. The other thing I want to talk about is this movie. It just fascinates me now, because this week, how Alex Cora's head didn't explode with the whole Tristan Casas nonsense, which now I feel like I owe Curtis an apology, because I thought he was just,
you're wrong. You owe no apology to Chris Curtis. why, Jeff? Let me ask you this, Jeff. Right. Why do you think you owe an apology to Chris Curtis?
Because on Thursday, I read the article that says that Tristan Casas is still saying that he has some pain and he's unsure and blah, blah, blah. And then, Will Fleming actually the other night says that, reading between the lines, Cora is pretty upset with him. And then all of a sudden Friday morning in the Globe, it's talking about him not returning. By the afternoon, he's on the lineup. So something clearly happened. I don't know. Yeah, but
did you hear? I'm sorry to interrupt. I apologize. Did you hear Tristan Casas talk to the media yesterday?
Of course. I listened to the Baseballers and Boring podcast.
I heard the whole thing.
But he contradicted himself in that. He was like, it's like, well, it hurts a bit, but I have to go deal with it if they needed me, but I don't need it. And then at one point he goes, one thing I learned about myself is I'm tough. And I'm like, the one thing I learned about you is that you're cautious. I'm not saying it's wrong. But after everything you said, I'm like, tough is not the word I would use. I would use that you're being cautious, you're being judicious, you're being careful.
I think, Jeff, this is a tricky thing. Tristan Casas is unique, right? and to the point where even he approaches everything in a unique way. Like what he says in that meeting with the media yesterday, after my at-bat in Worcester, I just knew. I just knew right then and there. It was like the clouds parted, and I just knew. And I think that if you sift through
–
yeah, no, of course. I mean, it's, but if you sift through,
yeah, I believe that somebody said, "Hey, get your ass in gear, get the hell up here."
I think if you sift through all the Cassisms, I think if you sift through, I think what it is, this is the reality of it, Jeff, is that I think that Cassis still feels it somewhat. He probably was a little bit concerned about that, you know, in the back of his head, because it was a pretty major injury, which is another thing, you know, that we should understand. And you know, I know that people, get back. Well, it was a significant injury. He still feels it somewhat. He still didn't feel right. But at the same time, what I think that Alex Cora was probably upset about mostly was that statement, going back to the statement about knives and the insinuation that they were putting him out there and playing baseball when he wasn't full, when he wasn't healthy enough. But I don't think there's any
with you. He was saying that he was still talking about having some pain.
Right.
Like,
right.
So what is it?
He has pain. Like, so here's my thing. I think he still has pain. I think that. And I said to someone the other day, and maybe I'm going to be completely wrong, I would not be surprised at all if he goes on the injured list again at some point. Like, I don't think people, and you guys can weigh in on this, but I don't think that people appreciate like how severe or significant this injury. I don't think he appreciated or understood how significant this injury was. And so,
and I defended him because I do understand that. I defended him all along. But can I just make one other quick point about the week? And then it's the Jaren Duran thing, because this Jaren Duran thing is going to be part of the story next season as well, when the Netflix things come out. So here are two young players who really didn't do themselves or the teams any big favors this week in putting a bullseye on their back. And, I believe in Casas. Casas reminds me a lot of Mo Vaughn in many ways. And Mo Vaughn, people didn't like his act in 95. There were people, no matter what Mo Vaughn did, the people, Red Sox fans, who did not like Mo Vaughn just because of his attitude and, you know, what people perceived as kind of his different way of behaving, you know, entirely different than Tristan Casas, but it's the same idea. And I believe that he's a 40 home run guy. I mean, I want Tristan Casas to work out, but it just seems like these two guys, now they're going to be examined, and then the movie's going to come out next year, and this whole story with Jaren Duran is going to be revisited again, and people are going to talk about it, and he's going to be linked to it. It's just what a week.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
We're still above 500. I mean, you know, we're not collapsing yet.
Well, let me ask you, Jeff, before you go, and you bring up all good points, and we're going to talk about Casas, and we haven't even talked about Duran yet. Obviously, that has happened in the time that since our last show. But I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Sammy and Gordo. You're sitting here at the same exact record as you were a year ago. They fell apart a year ago. We cited some of the examples of why. How do you feel the same, better, worse, or the same as you did 1 year ago today? Yeah.
No, I feel way better. I feel like it's very clear about what this team is and what this team needs. I think, like, if you want to write up a shopping list for the off season, I think it's not confusing. You know, it's very clear, like, who we are, what kind of team, like, what we have, what we don't have. It's almost spelled out. You just get a shopping list, you get what you need. I mean, it's very clear. It hasn't been that way the last couple of years. The last couple of years, we really didn't know what we were. And we kept waiting for some kind of definition, but this, so I feel a lot better, and I think, you know, there's some help maybe in the minors coming up that can make it a little exciting.
They need a fresh arm so they get a 44-year-old Richard. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, you know, that's Paxton to me. That's just a replacement for Paxton. I mean, Paxton was a gamble. A lot of people thought his arm was going to fall off when he came here anyway. Like, that to me is the same thing. They just replaced Paxton with, it's the same thing. Maybe it'll help. You know, those lefties can do it. We all remember Jamie Moyer. You know, sometimes
you must remember the Paul Bird thing in 2009, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
You're right on the money.
There's no waiver. So it's all you can do. You have to find somebody. You know, I'm surprised Jackie Bradley Jr. isn't playing somewhere just because.
Well, he's with the Mets.
Somebody needed an outfielder.
He's in the Mets minor league system.
Yeah, Mets minor.
Oh, did he get to? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, oh, okay, yeah, I didn't realize that.
Well, anyway, great call, Jeff. Thank you. Sammy and Gordo, before we get to the next call, your observations and comments on the great Jeff in Watertown.
I want to make one thing clear. I may not feel a huge amount better right now than I did last year in terms of the season at hand. If we're talking like the organization moving forward, I feel a mile and a half better.
Yeah, yeah. I was just, when I answered that, I'm talking about the 2024 Red Sox. In terms of the future, I feel outstanding about.
Yeah, I don't care about the future.
Right. Yeah, okay. No, just making it clear because Jeff was talking about future. He's talking about the shopping list. Like that's off season stuff. Like I think the Red Sox have a pretty clear path and things are looking up in that regard. But in terms of this year, there are some serious warts with this team. I feel great about the state of the bats. I was putting together lineups of like lefty righty, and they just when this team is healthy, which they're going to be pretty much offensively as of today. Oh, it looks great, but the pitching, it's just it's hard to get past it.
Were you really putting together lineups?
Yeah, I was. It was the first thing I did when I woke up this morning.
Oh, there you go. That's excellent.
Built differently.
Job. That's why you are who you are.
I think we got to also appreciate rib injuries are really, really painful.
I talked to somebody today who we had the car crash analogy, but someone who actually saw the images of it, and they're like, that's exactly what it was. And you know, it's one of these things where when I get into these debates, you know, with Curtis or whoever, it's like you can say, oh, it's no big deal, he should be coming back. And then Alex Cora, when he says what he says, is, you know, it's up to him, and he's healthy, you know, that sort of lends that narrative. But I can tell you, like, when Casas keeps mentioning that it hasn't gone away, right, and just watching him intently yesterday, I'm just like, I was surprised by letting Dom Smith go. Because you have potentially left yourself open if it does go the other way with Cuss. Anyway, all right, let's go back to the phone calls. Matt and Walpole. Hey, Matt, how are you?
What's going on? Yeah, I just wanted to say about the whole Tristan Casas situation. I think that Tristan is the greatest media troll that Boston hasn't seen in a very long time. He knows what's going to play. He knows what plays in Boston, and that's results. And he's got no question as to whether or not the results are going to be there. Tristan's going to win an MVP someday, and he knows what he's worth. And I think that by saying that he was tough after hearing what everyone is saying about him, he's just trolling the fans. And I think that the fans who want him traded don't know what Boston really has in Casas, and we're just going to keep seeing it.
Matt, I think your observation is 100% accurate. 100% accurate. Like, I think, like, and all you have to do is go back to that day in Worcester where me and Chris Cotillo, we talked to Casas, and I think we have the sound somewhere where he says, you know, it's I forget how he phrased it, but he said, you know, the pain was minute or something like that. And then literally an hour later, he goes to Laura Stickles, the Woo Sox sideline reporter, and says his knife sticking in there, right? Like he understands.
Gotcha.
He understands.
Knives, yep.
Right. But and this is, and I'm not just saying this because Cora said it and it related to the baseball is boring brand. But when Cora says that, when Cora says to Jones and Mego show, he said, we told him that he can't be telling Robin the brand one thing and everybody something else. But that's exactly what he's all right with doing that. He's all right with doing that because
he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care. And to your point, Matt, but to your point, Matt, real quick, is that because he knows what I have cited before, which was from June 1st to when he left the lineup in April. He had the 7th best OPS in all of baseball. He is a good player. He knows that he's going to be a good player.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a freak. There's no question about it. I play Dynasty Fantasy Baseball, and he's like top 15 in the rankings as an injured player. Like, he's an absolute freak. And I, like, as for the, you guys were talking about the future of the entire team, this entire minor league system, I've been watching it for years now, and finally it gets to come to fruition, and it's been a lot of fun. As for this year, I think it's kind of still like that R2-D2 sound effect as far as my prediction for this season, but I can't wait to see the very future of this team.
Yeah, well, I just want to, and thanks for the call, Matt. Guys, Sammy and Gordo, like, I just want, like, an interesting September, right?
You're not
like
a future guy, Rob. I noticed
no,
that.
My
you
future,
don't like
no, my
stuff.
No, no, I, because you know why? I've seen too many futures that It's fun talking about the future. People like, love the idea of what might be. That's why they like trades. That's why they like drafts. That's why they like minor leagues. That's why they like, you know, talking about college players. They love the idea of what might be. And then that person shows up, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, now let's move on to the next one. Is what's Luis Perales doing? Is he back from Tommy? You know, that's what it is. And that's great. I love it. I mean, we can't ignore what people like.
Right,
so,
I agree. I mean, 2016, I mean, I was thinking about the future. I can't wait to have Michael Kopech as the ace and Yoan Moncada in the three hole for years to come. And then they both get dealt and they're both kind of flops. So I don't want to say that
about Mike Kopech is dealing with the Dodgers. You see that?
Yeah, but he's a reliever. We thought he was going to be an ace in the rotation. I mean, he's good, I guess, but he's just not close to what
No, but getting. your point is well taken.
And I mean, I don't want to say that I don't think Meyer, Anthony Teal, et cetera, are going to be good. We just have to, like, you know, as excited as I am for the future, nothing is guaranteed.
Well,
a guy
who was just DFA'd and picked up, Brendan Walter, right? Like, let's go back. I didn't want to spend like 15 minutes on Brendan Walter, but Brendan Walter is this example about that 2021 trade deadline, how they said, oh, you know who was asked about a ton was Brendan Walter. Like, everyone was asking about Brendan Walter, but we held on to Brendan Walter. And it didn't work out.
I'd totally forgotten about that, and now I'm upset.
Yes, and so that also leads us to another conversation I want to have after the break, is reflecting on the trade deadline. So you've had the Luis Garcia experience. You've had I'm drawing a blank.
Lucas Sims.
Why
Danny Jansen.
Lucas Sims. Danny Jansen. James Paxton. And then there was one more somewhere.
Quinn Priester.
Okay. But you have, anyway, the trade deadline. We could talk about what other teams did, too, because I do think – I was, like, on San Diego radio. I know that you guys knew this because you tuned in. But I was on San Diego radio, and I was like, A.J. Preller, man, like, that guy gets heat all the time. Look at what he's done. Look at where that Padres team has landed. Good for you,
A.J. Preller. Not scared to make a mistake.
He's not scared, right? And you know what? He did the Juan Soto trade, and then he flipped Juan Soto, and he got back even, you know. Can you imagine Michael King what he would be for the Yankees right now?
Yeah, I mean,
he'd be huge.
Soto's
huge, but
yeah,
Michael King would be huge.
Which would be more important for the Yankees? It's a valid question, I think.
I think Soto.
Probably.
Soto, that lineup without Juan Soto.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I mean, I don't even think they're.
Well, now that
great.
We know Alec Verdugo's allergic to his batting gloves
true.
And tattoos.
That is. Rob, do you know? Just go back to one thing. We're talking about, you know, how you got to be careful when talking about the future. 2017 midseason. Guess who had the number one farm system in baseball per MLB pipeline?
I know. Cubs. I don't know who.
The Chicago White Sox.
Ah, yes.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, in 2017 midseason.
Oh, that was after the sale trade,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and then before 18, they were number three. Middle of 18, they were number three. Before 19, they were number four. And, like, look where it's gotten them.
Yeah, everyone they famously worked out. They hit on every single prospect.
Yeah, so I do want to talk about the trade deadline. Also, Jeff in Watertown brought up Duran. We haven't even talked about Duran because that happened the day after we did the show last week, and we've had a whole week of that. So we could talk about Duran, talk about Casas, obviously the most polarizing person in the history of New England sports. And I want everyone to weigh in, 617-779-7937. You got me, Rob Bradford. You got Sam. You got Gordo from Play Tessie. And you got producer Jacob. We got all of us. We're going to be with you all the way till 6 o'clock. Be back after this.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
See, I knew I picked the song, Rob. I knew you'd be pumped up.
Yeah, not really.
Come on.
I mean, who is this?
Who? Why do I not know that?
You
I love
the song.
I picked the song and I don't even know who sings it.
Yeah.
I'll find
like,
it.
Do something from Vision Quest.
It's Foreigner. Foreigner does Jukebox.
Vision Quest.
I just said that.
Yeah, Vision Quest, where they're, you know, the wrestling movie. from back in the day when I was like negative 10. Yeah. All right. Anyway, this is our fishing quest, the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I am live from Camden Yards. I'm Rob Bradford and Sammy and Gordo in the Baseball Isn't Boring Studios in Brighton. I appreciate their presence so much. Go to Play Tessie at Play Tessie, Play Tessie Podcast, the official podcast, Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Do you guys feel good about your podcasting this week? How do you feel about things? What's your vibe?
Well, we'll answer that question after these last two Red Sox games, because that dictate. You should have seen Gordo's face when we got on to start recording the last episode.
After the Rangers game?
He just goes, "Hello, everybody. Welcome back."
It's one of these things where that game, you're going to remember where you were in a bizarre way, because you're just cruising along and you're like, "Oh, this game's over." And then boom, next thing you know, it's not over. I was boarding a Spirit Airlines flight, because who doesn't?
I love Spirit Airlines.
Yeah, well, so does Rich Hill. That's what he flies. He flew down to Florida. And when Rich Hill went to Florida, the first time any broadcaster has now become a major league player in a single season, or at least a professional baseball player, he flew down on Spirit. And he came down to Fort Myers, and he was hugs and smiles and everything else. But the one thing he couldn't get over was that Spirit made you pay for water. Like, he couldn't fathom.
That's absurd. That's absurd. I don't mind Spirit if it's for a short little jaunt, but if it's East Coast to West Coast or something, it's too much.
This was the emptiest flight.
What difference does it make?
This was the emptiest flight I've been on in years. Years. So anybody who wants an empty flight, get on the 940 out of Boston to Baltimore. So there you go. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to. Enough of the shenanigans. I want to talk ultimately about the trade deadline, about where everybody has landed, because the trade deadline is a funny thing. Everyone obsesses over it, and this goes back to what might be. We like the unknown. That's what the trade deadline is all about. And now we sit here, and the winners and the losers, and there's a lot of losers that we thought were going to be winners, and maybe winners that we thought were going to be losers. So I do want to get to that, but I do want to touch on, since we haven't had a chance to dive into it, with the Jarren Duran stuff. And I know it's heavy stuff, and I know that, it's pretty cut and dry. He said something stupid, and he paid the price, right? I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But there was a reaction from the Fenway crowd. There was Duran's. He has had a couple of media sessions since. There was Duran's performance, which I think was interesting to me. He came back Sunday, right? Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday. And he played, I'm losing track of days here. So, no, he didn't come back Sunday. It happened Sunday.
He was suspended.
He came back for the third game of the Rangers series. So he played the last game of the series, and then he played the first game to the Orioles. And those two games, I was like, that is not the Jarren Duran that you last saw. Like, that guy looks different, and not in a good way. Like, he just wasn't playing well. And I don't know if that was a product of everything that was going on around him, because I can tell you, I talked to Jarren a little bit, just talking with him, and understandably, like, he was rattled by this stuff, right? He was rattled about things like signing autographs and things like that. And it is what it is, man. Like, you screwed up and you have to sort of pay the price. But this was still a thing with him. And you go to those first two games, and I don't know if you guys felt the same way, where it didn't look the same way, and maybe that was because he was so used to playing every day and he took this time off, or he's rusty. I don't know. But did you guys get that same vibe?
No, I absolutely did. And I had that same thought process where it's like, how much of it is because of what's on his mind and how much of it is because he had off time? But you got to remember, he had some of his best games of the season coming right out of the All-Star break. So I do think a lot of it, and probably most of it, was because of everything that's on his mind. I know he cares so much about everything that's been going on. I can't help but attribute the struggles to that, but it was great to see him break out in a big way last night.
Yeah, I mean, last night, it's funny because you flipped the script completely, where last night was exactly like everything about Jarren Duran. Like the you forget watching this guy run around the bases, you know, what he can do across the board.
In the first inning.
Right, in the first inning. And even when he came back that first game, there was a couple throws he made. It was so much aggression. Like, he had no chance. I think there was one play at the plate. But he was like, it was just so much aggression and almost anger behind him. Or, I got to prove myself. And I felt like that was how it was the first two games. But then it clicked in. By the way, guys, I do want to – we have a roster move. Tyler O'Neill has been activated. Which we knew, and we're waiting for the lineup to come out. I think he's going to be in it. Nick Sogard, back to AAA. So, Nick Sogard, good for you. I think you proved yourself to be a major leaguer. So, it's a tough call, but, you know, it is what it is.
He'll be back.
He did a lot of good things, and he'll definitely, I agree, he'll be back. The interesting thing is that they chose to option him and continue to keep three catchers on the roster. Mickey Gasper will stay.
Yeah. That is, I think everybody assumed that Mickey Gasper was going to be the guy.
I assumed it for Casas and for O'Neill, and I was wrong both times.
Yeah, the Dom Smith thing, like you said, they're taking a chance. They're taking a chance. But before we go to break, you got any last thoughts on the Duran thing at all, Sammy or Gordon?
I agree with what both of you said. He's a guy who's spoken at length about how he can get in his own head with stuff, and I mean, that was no better example than his mistake that he made. So I think probably for his sake, good to be on the road right now, kind of get away from the story a little bit. But
well, it's good to be in Baltimore. It wouldn't be good to be on the road if you were in Yankee Stadium.
It's true.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, but honestly, and I'm sure there's even people here, like there's been, you know, situations in Baltimore before. Last year, you had the thing about people throwing stuff in the bullpen. Even last year, the press box is open air, and it's so close to the stands. We can hear, unfortunately, there was a kid right below us. Oh, my goodness. Like, the kid wouldn't shut up. Like, God bless him. But it was like, it was just nonstop. And it was like, right, it was literally like if someone was sitting next to me just screaming the entire god time.
Was it anyway. Radio appropriate chirps or no?
No, it was a kid. It was a kid. Like, I kind of like said, good for you for being enthusiastic about the great game of baseball, but can we dial it back a little bit, please?
Wow.
Come on, Mounty.
I thought you meant he was chirping Duran or the rest.
No. Player. So what I was going to get to is that some idiot did like yell like something about the tennis racket.
Oh, like, you know, but he's going to, that's the thing, is he's going to get that for the rest of the season, and it's just going to have to be something that he pushes through. Again, like you said, Robbie, messed up. He's going to have to pay the price.
No, I know, but it's going to be absolutely brutal in Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah. He's a good guy, but yeah, I mean, he messed up, and this is just the consequences.
Yeah, and I will say this, is that we talked to him after the game last night, completely different guy. I mean, he wears emotions on his sleeve is like such a cliche.
His mood, I feel like, is dictated a lot by his performance.
It's also dictated a lot by winning, honestly. Like, in last night, if you go back, I don't know if they showed it on Nesson, but he smiled a lot, like, in that post-game press conference. And nobody get this twisted. What he did was, like, awful. Like, it was
awful.
He's
not a victim.
No, it was. You just don't, you know, we've gone through this a million times. But now we can sort of reflect on that week and reflect on sort of what's become of it. And the other part about this, and Jeff in Watertown keeps talking about Netflix, I am fascinated about the story arc when it comes to Jarren Duran with this. Because they didn't necessarily have to be there on the day that this happened, which was Sunday, which they weren't. But were they there the next day? they were there on Monday.
Yeah, hand up. I didn't understand why they were picking the Red Sox for this documentary, but I was wrong.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Wow, hand up on that. I was not on the ball with that one.
So many things.
Swing it up.
Yes, that is my wedding present to Gordo. I am going to give you a subscription to Netflix.
Let's go.
You can watch it.
Huge.
All right, we got to take a quick break. 617-779-7937. This is a Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Gordo. That's Sammy. Jacob behind the glass. Also, friend of the program, Brian Abraham, farm director, calling at 5:30 as well. And we'll ask him when Marcelo Meyer is going to be called up to Worcester. Oops, that already happened. All right, we'll be back right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
To the wall, and like a distant scream, he heard one guitar just blew him away. Saw stars in his eyes.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
See, I knew I picked the song, Rob. I knew you'd be pumped up.
Yeah, not really.
Come on.
I mean, who is this?
Who? Why do I not know that? You I love the song. I picked the song and I don't even know who sings it.
Yeah.
I'll find
like,
it.
Do something from Vision Quest.
It's Quest? Foreigner. Foreigner does Jukebox.
Vision Quest.
I just said that.
Yeah, Vision Quest, where they're, you know, the wrestling movie from back in the day when I was like negative 10. Yeah. All right. Anyway, this is our Vision Quest, the Baseball Isn't Boring show. I am live from Camden Yards. I'm Rob Bradford and Sammy and Gordo in the Baseball Isn't Boring studios in Brighton. I appreciate their presence so much. Go to Play Tessie at Play Tessie. Play Tessie podcast, the official podcast, Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Do you guys feel good about your podcasting this week? How do you feel about things? What's your vibe?
Well, we'll answer that question after these last two Red Sox games, because that dictate. You should have seen Gordo's face when we got on to start recording the last episode.
After the Rangers game?
He just goes, "Hello, everybody. Welcome back."
It's one of these things where that game, you're going to remember where you were in a bizarre way, because you're just cruising along and you're like, "Oh, this game's over." And then boom, next thing you know, it's not over. I was boarding a Spirit Airlines flight, because who doesn't?
I love Spirit Airlines.
Yeah. Well, so does Rich Hill. That's what he flies. He flew down to Florida. And when Rich Hill went to Florida, the first time any broadcaster has now become a major league player in a single season, or at least a professional baseball player, he flew down on Spirit. And he came down to Fort Myers, and he was hugs and smiles and everything else. But the one thing he couldn't get over was that Spirit made you pay for water. Like, he couldn't fathom.
That's absurd. That's absurd. I don't mind Spirit if it's for a short little jaunt, but if it's East Coast to West Coast or something, it's too much.
This was the emptiest flight.
What difference does it make?
This was the emptiest flight I've been on in years. So anybody who wants an empty flight, get on the 940 out of Boston to Baltimore. So there you go. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to. Enough of the shenanigans. I want to talk ultimately about the trade deadline, about where everybody has landed, because the trade deadline is a funny thing. Everyone obsesses over it, and this goes back to what might be. We like the unknown. That's what the trade deadline is all about. And now we sit here, and the winners and the losers, and there's a lot of losers that we thought were going to be winners, and maybe winners that we thought were going to be losers. So I do want to get to that, but I do want to touch on, since we haven't had a chance to dive into it, with the Jaren Duran stuff. And I know it's heavy stuff, and I know that, it's pretty cut and dry. He said something stupid, and he paid the price, right? I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But there was a reaction from the Fenway crowd. There was Duran's. He has had a couple media sessions since. There was Duran's performance, which I think was interesting to me. You go to, when he came back, what was that? Came back Sunday, right? Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday, and he played, I'm losing track of days here. So, no, he didn't come back Sunday. He did. It happened Sunday.
He was suspended.
He came back for the third game of the Rangers series. So he played the last game in the series, and then he played the first game to the Orioles. And those two games, I was like, that is not the Jaren Duran that you last saw. Like, that guy looks different, and not in a good way. Like, he just wasn't playing well. And I don't know if that was a product of everything that was going on around him, because I can tell you, I talked to Jaren a little bit, just talking with him, and understandably, like, he was rattled by this stuff, right? He was rattled about things like signing autographs and things like that. And it is what it is, man. Like, you screwed up and you have to sort of pay the price. But this was still a thing with him. And you go to those first two games, and I don't know if you guys felt the same way, where it didn't look the same way, and maybe that was because he was so used to playing every day and he took this time off, or he's rusty. I don't know. But did you guys get that same vibe?
No, I absolutely did. And I had that same thought process where it's like, how much of it is because of what's on his mind and how much of it is because he had off time? But you got to remember, he had some of his best games of the season coming right out of the All-Star break. So I do think a lot of it, and probably most of it, was because of everything that's on his mind. I know he cares so much about everything that's been going on. I can't help but attribute the struggles to that, but it was great to see him break out in a big way last night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, last night, it's funny because you flipped the script completely, where last night was exactly like everything about Jaren Duran. Like, the you forget, watching this guy run around the bases, what he can do across the board.
In the first inning.
Right, in the first inning. And even when he came back that first game, there was a couple throws he made was so much aggression, and like, he had no chance. I think there was one play at the plate, but he was like, it was just so much aggression and almost anger behind him, or I gotta prove myself. And I felt like that was how it was the first two games, but then it clicked in. By the way, guys, I do want to we have a roster move. Tyler O'Neill has been activated, which we knew, and we're waiting for the lineup to come out. I think he's going to be in it. Nick Sogard, back to AAA. So, Nick Sogard, good for you. I think you proved yourself to be a major leaguer. So, it's it's a tough call, but, it is what it is.
He'll be back.
He did a lot of good things, and he'll definitely, I agree, he'll be back. The interesting thing is that they chose to option him and continue to keep three catchers on the roster. Mickey Gasper will stay.
Yeah. That is, I think everybody assumed that Mickey Gasper was going to be the guy.
I assumed it for Casas and for O'Neill, and I was wrong both times.
Yeah, the Dom Smith thing, like you said, they're taking a chance. They're taking a chance. But before we go to a break, you got any last thoughts on the Duran thing at all, Sammy or Gordon?
I agree with what both of you said. He's a guy who's spoken at length about how he can get in his own head with stuff, and I mean, that was no better example than his mistake that he made. So I think probably for his sake, good to be on the road right now, kind of get away from the story a little bit. But
well, it's good to be in Baltimore. It wouldn't be good to be on the road if you were in Yankee Stadium.
It's true.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
No, but honestly, and I'm sure there's even people here, like there's been, you know, situations in Baltimore before. Last year, you had the thing about people throwing stuff in the bullpen. Even last year, the press box is so is open air and it's so close to the stands. We can hear. Unfortunately, there was a kid right below us. Oh my goodness! Like the kid wouldn't shut up. Like God bless him. But it was like it was just nonstop, and it was like right. It was literally like if someone was sitting next to me, just screaming the entire god time.
Was it anyway? Radio appropriate chirps or no?
Nah, it was a kid. Like I kind of like said, good for you for being enthusiastic about the great game of baseball. But can we dial it back a little bit, please?
Wow.
Come on, Mounty.
I thought you meant he was chirping Duran or the rest.
No. So what I was gonna get to is that some idiot did like yell like something about the tennis racket.
Oh, like, you know, but he's gonna, that's the thing, is he's gonna get that for the rest of the season, and it's just gonna have to be something that he pushes through. Again, like you said, Robbie, messed up, he's gonna have to pay the price.
No, I know, but it's gonna be absolutely brutal in Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah. He's a good guy, but yeah, I mean, he messed up, and this is just the consequences.
Yeah, and I will say this, is that we talked to him after the game last night, completely different guy. I mean, he wears emotions on his sleeve is like such a cliche.
His mood, I feel like, is dictated a lot by his performance.
It's also dictated a lot by winning, honestly. Like, in last night, if you go back, I don't know if they showed it on NESN, but he smiled a lot, like, in that post-game press conference. And nobody get this twisted. What he did was, like, awful. Like, it was
He's
it was
not a
like,
victim.
No, it was, you just don't, you know, we've gone through this a million times, but now we can sort of reflect on the week and reflect on sort of what's become of it. And the other part about this, and Jeff in Watertown keeps talking about Netflix, I am fascinated about the story arc when it comes to Jarren Duran when this, because they, you know, they didn't necessarily have to be there on the day that this happened, which was Sunday, which they weren't. But were they there the next day? They were there on Monday.
Yeah, hand up. I didn't understand why they were picking the Red Sox for this documentary, but I was wrong.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Wow, hand up on that. I was not on the ball with that one.
So many things.
Swinging a
miss. Yes, that is my wedding present to Gordo. I am going to give you a subscription to Netflix.
Let's go.
You can watch it.
Huge.
All right. We gotta take a quick break. 617-779-7937. This is a Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Gordo. That's Sammy. Jacob behind the glass. Also, friend of the program, Brian Abraham, farm director, calling at 5:30 as well. And we'll ask him when Marcelo Meyer is going to be called up to Worcester. Oops, that already happened. All right, we'll be back right after this.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.